Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio with Mr. Grant. We'll have him for another week of this four-week session.
Hello again.
Yay.
And Ms. Chair, myself, Sandy. And the last 2 weeks, we've talked about Peter's confession of Christ. And then we're going to go on to the Transfiguration, which is from about a week later, they say, 6 to 8 days later. And it's all about... I love this passage. I can't even say, I'm like, oh my goodness. So if you can follow along with this, it's a beautiful passage.
Yeah, we're looking
of
forward.
Jesus showing his, oh.
Yeah, his glory.
Yes.
His glory. One of the famous quotes about this particular section of scripture is that it's not about the fact that his glory is revealed on this day. It's about the fact that his glory was contained all the rest of the time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's the miracle. The miracle was is that he kept it contained. Mm. And for this brief moment on this mountain and time of prayer, Peter, James, and John were allowed to see his glory revealed. And so it was one time that he was allowed to express the fullness of his Godhead, his divinity, whereas the rest of the time he kept it hidden. And so the miracle was that it wasn't revealed the rest of the time.
Yeah.
So
do you ever think that, you know, like when he does come back, the fullness is even going to be, it's going to be grander than this, I think, than this passage. I don't know.
Well,
don't you think?
Isn't there a dividing from the east to the west when it happens?
Yeah, that's right. That's just think of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely silences us.
Yes.
And so that's one of the things we're going to find. Just as the last 2 weeks, we found that Peter was allowed to speak, and he was blessed for what he said. And then he was allowed to speak, and then he was told, "Get behind me, Satan." We're going to find in this passage as well that Peter's going to be allowed to say what he wants to say. But this time, instead of being silenced by Jesus, it's God the Father that speaks from heaven that pretty much tells him, "Shut up, dude."
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of fun. I just, like I said, I love these two passages because it's Peter, and I so relate to Peter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so go ahead, Grant. He's going to read for us our Bible passage, which is Matthew 17, verses 1 through 11.
The Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transformed in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. Even his clothes became as white as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you want, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him. Listen to him." When the disciples heard it, they fell face down and were terrified. Then Jesus came up, touched them, and said, "Get up. Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except him, Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone about the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead."
Wow.
So the disciples questioned him, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" "Elijah is coming and will restore everything," he replied. "But I tell you, Elijah has already come," and they didn't recognize him. On the contrary, they did whatever they pleased to him, in the same way the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he had spoke to them and about John the Baptist.
I love it. I want to point out at this point, we have to recognize Peter has a special place. He really does. Mm-hmm. He has a special place in God's economy, but even in his relationship with Jesus, because he is always listed. Okay, so I just, you know, he's always listed first amongst the disciples. Mm. Whenever the disciples are listed, it's always Peter comes first. And then if you take the fact that he's the one that's given the privilege of first taking the gospel message, he's the first to take it to the Jews, according to Acts 2, 38 through 39. And he's also the first to open the door for the kingdom to the Gentiles, for those that were non-Jews, in Acts 10, 34 through 44. But incredible things are given to him, responsibilities. And even when it came down to his denial, which is another time where he speaks when he shouldn't speak, but at that time he was allowed. When it came time for his restoration, Jesus never, ever says anything about it. He just, you know, as far as like, he just, do you love me? He gets mm-hmm. him to be thinking through what his mind needs to be on, then feed my sheep. Mm-hmm. So what we have to understand is that in every single circumstance with his relationship with Christ and all of these, in each one, Jesus is trying to get him to understand, how are you building the kingdom? And the irony is on this one, he gets it in his mind, well, I can build shelters.
Yeah.
And he's like, And so no. Look, God in heaven stops that. He's like, okay, wait a minute. This is not what we're talking about when we're saying building the kingdom. We're not talking about building a church. We're not talking about making it comfortable. We're not talking about building it to honor somebody. That's not what he wants. And so I want us to understand that. So what we're going to do is I just want us to look at this. And the mountain that they're on, there's all kinds of discussion about which one, the Mount of Transfiguration. I just wanted to catch you up on that. So some say it could have been Mount Tabor, but according to the commentators, they think it's too high and it's too far away from Caesarea Philippi. Some say it's Mount Hermon. They also say it's too high and it's too cold, that if they were at the summit, you know, it wouldn't have worked. And Mount Myron was the highest mountain in the Jewish area, and it was on the way to Caesarea Philippi. Some commentators actually favor that it might have been Mount Myron. Hmm. And so there's actually a debate as to which one of the mountains it was.
Yeah, because I read something about Mount Hermon. Yeah,
right. So. And with Mount Hermon, it's about 9,300 feet high.
I don't know where I read that.
And yeah, and so they say that it would have been so cold that they could not have spent the night. And it's not close enough to where the Jewish crowds are, the people were. It would have been too much of a distance for them to get to them. And so that's why they think that that probably wasn't the mountain. So that's just
kind of, I just know it's a high mountain.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so this particular story has the word transfiguration or transformation. When you hear that word, what does it make you think of?
Changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, changed. It comes from metamorpho, which means to transfigure, transform, or change in form.
Yeah, I was going to say, it makes me think of metamorphosis and specifically tadpoles turning into frogs. But
tadpoles into frogs, not butterflies, caterpillars into butterflies.
Oh, that too.
But just it's really
mind,
funny.
My mind went to
you
frogs.
You went to frogs.
You're such a boy and I'm a girl. I want butterflies. You can have your frog.
Pretty butterflies.
But it's just amazing because it literally is that the physical change is so different, and it's a movement from the inward to the outward, and so you change so much on the inmost that the outward is changed.
The word changed, you know, you're changed when you accept Christ,
right?
You're renewed, and you'll be changed in the blink of an eye. You know, there's just
so many things
happen. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, what do we learn? We'll start with let's start with Peter again. Normally, I start with God. But I want us to end on Jesus. So let's start with Peter again. What do we learn from Peter in this passage? What are some things that we see about him again?
I mean, again, just his boldness. That, like, literally, you know, Jesus is, like, revealing his glory to them. And, like, his face is shining. And, you know, like, instead of Peter's first reaction just being, like, awestruck silence. It's like, okay, God, I've got this plan. We're going to do this thing. Like, let's go. Let's do it now.
Let's build you some shelters.
Yeah, you know, just, so again, like, just his boldness and just, like, how just on it he is with everything, even if it's not the right thing,
yeah.
You know, but he's just on top of everything, just ready to go.
And Jesus loves him. That's always so precious to me because, you know, I'm always doing something arrogant or, you know, flippy like that and thinking, well, Jesus loves me.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you bring up that he's a doer.
He is a doer.
I mean, he's not somebody
he's
that's
a
just
man of action.
Sit, right. You know, he's just
wrong, but just the wrong action.
Yeah.
But you got to give him credit for it, right?
Yeah, and how many times do we jump into something that, you know, we haven't asked God if that's where we're supposed to be jumping? Then you get in there and you're drowning instead of swimming. So you're thinking, this wasn't right.
Do you know, since the closing of Grace, my prayer this summer, and it just, actually I have tears in my eyes as I think about it, I've just been asking God for sacred space. Mm. That our lives can be so busy doing what we call the kingdom work. And I believe in, for most cases, our hearts are right and what we are doing is right. But then what happens is that we actually aren't in the presence. We are not experiencing the grace of God the way we should, which I was sharing with them in between the radio segments. I was listening to a sermon by Tim Mackey with the Bible Project, and he was diagramming the word grace, and he said, grace is a gift. And I think everybody focuses in on the fact that grace is a gift and it's unmerited and stuff.
Yeah.
But what most people don't realize, when we say grace, it means the manifold presence and power of Christ, and it means the generosity of God as well. So it's his gift of eternal life, his presence and his power, and his generosity. And it's not talking financial, but it's the generosity of the fruit.
Right.
Bearing fruit and allowing his presence and power in the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control to be evident. But not just those fruit. There are other fruit listed in Scripture. There's the fruit of the Spirit, but there's the fruit of light. There's the fruit of wisdom. There's the fruit of unfailing love, the fruit of righteousness listed as well. Mm. And most people don't think of those as part of the fruit of what he gives. And so the grace is that when we have his grace at work in us, that is born out. And so as we're looking at the transfiguration, we are seeing the manifold presence of God in Christ. Mm-hmm. And Scripture says that, you know, he shone. And so Peter's reaction was, let's build something. So what did he want to build?
Shelters. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Three tabernacles.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So who is he building them for? Why three?
Moses, Elijah, and Christ.
Yeah. Okay. So here, you know, 6-8 days earlier, they were talking about the prophets of old, and all of a sudden, boom, they're shown up. Here we have Elijah, and here we have Moses, and they are present. They are present. And so it should be a surprise.
It should be a surprise.
Mm. And what blows my mind is,
maybe he was too surprised.
How did they know it was Moses? And how did they know it was Elijah? They didn't have photographs.
They didn't have Instagram
and Facebook.
I mean, we have Instagram and Facebook, but we still don't know what they look like.
Right. That's your good point.
Yeah. Well, we don't have those pictures of them.
We don't have the pictures. But they knew who they were. I always wondered, how did he know? God just divinely allowed them to experience this is who they are.
It's revealed, just like he reveals things in the...
I know.
I don't know.
It's so funny. It's so funny. And so what
I
else?
I think he just got overexcited. Peter.
Yeah, I do that.
I do too.
I do that, and then I start talking like Peter. Yeah. Okay, so what else can you learn from Peter? Mm-hmm. I wrote down that he again recognized Jesus' sonship. He saw the glory. He knew. He knew the prophets immediately. So Peter does have eyes that sees the kingdom of God things. And we need to thank God for that because he has the ability to see. And then he, even though it's in discipline, he does hear the Father's voice.
And the Father interrupts him in the middle of his little funny speech, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have this vision of him standing there with his hands in the air. Oh, I would have built three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And if you could see me, my hands are very dramatically over my head. Again, I wrote down, he's protective of Christ. He's wanting to provide, even though
because
it's in the wrong
way. In my Bible, it says, if you wish. He's asking a little permission, too.
Yeah. He does say if
instead
you want.
Of just saying, I'm going to build it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and again, he reveals he still doesn't get it.
He just loves Christ so much that he just wants to do things for him.
I know. And then I wrote down again, but he wants to honor him in the wrong way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you see a pattern?
With Peter?
God, so how many times have I wanted to honor the Lord?
And didn't,
in the wrong way.
In the wrong way, yeah. Instead, we end up honoring ourselves. or I do sometimes, you know, like you take credit for things. It's all God. It's not us.
Yeah.
But we don't give him the honor.
I know. But even because he's trying to do something special.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Throwing an event, saying it's for Jesus and ends up not really being.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, same thing.
You know,
yeah.
Just there's so many aspects to that question, and it's something I think it's worthy of just pausing and asking God, how have I sought to honor you? And maybe I was off.
Mm-hmm.
And am I hearing your voice enough to know I'm off?
You know, still quiet voice.
Where I can, or the boldness of get behind me, Satan, or listen, this is my son. You need to listen to him. You know, I mean.
Now, that was a strong command.
Those are
God.
Both very strong. This isn't the whisper. Both in mm-hmm. both of these passages, it is a very strong reprimand.
Mm-hmm.
Am I so dull? Like,
well,
Peter?
You know, when God did that, they fell down. They, mm-hmm. he got their attention.
Yeah,
for sure.
Are we willing to ask God to get our attention?
Yeah, there's a key. Yeah, what will happen if we?
Yeah,
ask?
I recently asked God. I'm like, God, I want you to make it clear to me, and He put in my mind, in my prayer time, he does this sometimes, a role play and of something that could occur. And then it actually happened exactly how it was when it, you know, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very clear what my answer was. And I couldn't deny that. And so we need to be willing to ask him, God, I want to so hear you that you mm-hmm. stop me in mm-hmm. my tracks.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't want it to be where it's in the process of discipline, but in
yeah.
humility, I'm asking ahead of time, shut the door
yeah.
or fling wide heavenly gates. You know, that if I'm trying to build something for you, let me do it because it's you asking, like with David, mm-hmm. not Peter. And so that I'm building it because it's you've asked, because it'll give you glory. It'll bring you praise.
Right.
And so you need to come back next time, because what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Father's voice, or listen to it, mm-hmm. and we'll look at how Jesus is in this particular passage and the things that he challenges them and tells them they need to do. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. You can contact us at tararye.com or at cultivatinghearts.org or at theopendoormission.org. God bless.